Welcome. This is RAM Radio. RAM stands for Reformation Apologetics Ministry. The host of RAM Radio is Pastor John Coleman of Into the Word, the Biblical Alternative. Using the Bible as his guide, Pastor John plans to equip the African-American Christian community with the tools that make the scriptures become clear for practical living and protection from the false teaching. Using the discipline of apologetics will open the eyes of the student of the Word to see God's absolute truth and the original intent of the scriptures. RAM Radio will challenge what you were taught about the Bible as well as your way of thinking and living in this world. God demands more from those who say, "I believe." Grab your Bible and pen and paper. Let's begin our study. Here's Pastor John Coleman.
Thank you so much, Mark Ramsey. Thanks for joining us tonight for RAM Radio, the Biblical Alternative. March 2009, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account of the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and with reverence. In Los Angeles, California, in the Lucy Coleman studio, this small little room, welcome to RAM Radio, the webcast. And I'm Pastor John. Bob Klink and Mark Ramsey are along here with me tonight, with Bro Man sitting in the studio also. In a world of professing Christians, a true believer must always classify themselves as those who are justified in righteousness by their position in Christ. It's called a divine absolutism, and it must be affirmed by the standard of the Word of God alone, independent of any type of mixture. Into the Word RAM Radio speaks to these kinds of absolutes. This Into the Word ministry, as any other true Christian ministry, must always look to God's Word as the highest standard that directs our lives. We cannot, will not, must not try to do ministry outside of that if we do not define who we are by what we believe. Thus, we affirm ourselves as a group of believers. Today's subject matter, doing the work of ministry in small, intimate settings, like back in the days. Why does that frighten us? What does one do when God is speaking to them so directly that they cannot escape his voice? You know, when God is trying to get you to move in a certain area and you're saying, "Well, I don't know whether I ought to do it. I don't think I want to do it because it's going to cost me something." How does one escape the fact that the devil is working overtime to defeat God's divine ambition in us, while God at the same time is always giving us these signals, these signs, to jump into something that we could really become a part of and a motivating factor for Christ? Why don't we understand that the war is going on and it's so easy for us to abdicate and bow out because we're looking for, like the old song, taking the easy way isn't the easy way? Well, our discussion today will be designed to spark an interest in home, school, company, relational Bible studies, intimate talks and discussions with your friends, your family, and not only here in Los Angeles, but people all over the country. Because as the country continues to go through crises, I was talking with a brother from the Detroit area yesterday, and he took me to a website where he showed me an entire neighborhood. 90% of the homes are empty. They were all speaking in the automotive business industry, and all of their homes are gone. I'll just let that message come on because I don't want to pick up that phone call. Wait a minute. I'll just tell them that I'm doing a webcast, so why don't you call me back in about an hour and a half? Thank you so much. All right. This guy told me, he said, "Pastor John, you can buy a house for $90,000. Two-bedroom house, all fixed up. A lot of these homes have never been lived in. The contractors had to stop building it. They had the kitchen done. They just didn't have the granite desktops there. This country is so ruinous." I said, "Why would I move there, brother, if I'd be the only person on the block? Because I could sell this house and buy three houses in the Detroit area right now and rent them out and make some money. Why aren't I concerned? Why am I not going to do that? But if I did go to the Detroit area, the first thing that I tried to do is to share some of the things that the Lord has placed on my heart and run it by the people that would come to my home Bible study or my new job Bible study or the people that I interact with. Now is a time when the economy is slumping and sinking for us to really be a Christian. And I'll let you know where we're going with this discussion tonight, as I will attempt to give short lessons on how these things are done without being so dependent upon a huge church organization, such as church buildings and things like that, because you need to understand that you don't have to become a part of a big church group to get this kind of work done. You can get this work done in small groups, and I don't mean small dialectic groups, but let God use you where you are. And so, I believe that we ought to get back to the small, effective Bible studies that must arise all over the country now. As a matter of fact, outstanding and leading African-American talk show host was saying today that the large black churches are crumbling all over the country, that they're busting up because nobody has any more money for it, and people are now desperate. Now is the time for us to do these things all for God's glory. Welcome, Mark Ramsey and Bob Klink. Good to have you guys with us as we have these discussions.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor.
Good to have you guys. Let me tell you what my dilemma has been this week, and then you know why I've chosen to go here. One of the students that I teach has my cell phone number, and he's a Christian, and he needs to be taught. And just as I was beginning my home Bible study, he called after going to my website, said, "Pastor John, I need to learn how to study the Bible and learn how that I need to be disciple." Well, of course, I won't let him join my home Bible study because he's a student, and that would be wrong. You can't have a student come into your home while you're teaching him a subject in college, because that's interfering with the process of education on a secular level. So he can't attend. Now, my heart went out to him because I know that he needs to study the Bible, and I suggested to him that at the college that he might start a Christian club. 5 minutes after I got off the phone with him, another Christian that I taught in the college said that he had already started the paperwork to start a Christian club, and they wanted me to be their director or their Bible teacher. It blew my mind. And he asked for the other youngster's phone number, and I gave him his phone number, and they're going to work to start a Christian club, and they want me to sponsor the Christian club. Now, you see how God is working?
Yes.
Right. And then I asked one of the guys, "Why me? Isn't there another Christian club?" And he said, "There is, but it's charismatic, and we want a doctrinal teacher that's going to teach us correctly." And my name has been buzzed and thrown all around this campus for about a year now. Now, this is what God wants to do. Bob.
Right. The point that I want to make, Pastor, is I've heard you and actually even pretty recently,
okay,
sort of questioning God, why are you making me go to the secular world?
Yes.
In order to support myself.
Yes, yes. That is what I said Sunday when I preached. Exactly.
And now
there it is.
God is answering.
Yes, he is.
He says, because I needed you to shine light there too.
There it is. God is not.
And we do that all the time. We don't God's timing. We don't see, why did he do this, which seems to be completely contrary
right
to what my idea of where I should be at and where God would have me to be. And he's put me into some other area which, you know, seems all wrong, but there's a reason behind it all.
He is not going to do things the way Mm-mm. we think Mm-mm. he ought to do it. That's why he is
Never.
Our Lord, and we are his servants. We are his slaves.
And that's the beauty of age.
Yes.
And you have more years of experiencing it than I do.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the beauty that you have, is the hindsight. As you say, he was setting up this.
Yes.
He was setting up this. He was setting up, it's like watching a chess master.
Right, right.
And then once you see him finally go in for the kill, you look back 15 moves and say, that move 15 moves ago, didn't appear to make sense at the time.
Exactly.
And he was just setting it up.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's the way God does it, all for the praise of his glory. And remember, guys, God always tells us, you didn't form me, I formed you. I called you.
Yes.
From your mother's womb. I'm the one. Listen, if you are truly a doulos, a bond slave of God, I see that my other program here just won't open. Okay. If you are truly a bond slave of God, you would never argue with what God is saying in your life.
But that's just a beautiful thing now to see that. And I mean, in essence, answered so quickly in that you were sort of questioning it a week ago.
Yes, I was. And I was serious because I said my exact words are, why do I have to go to that stupid college to teach secularism in order to make a living? And why is the church shrinking? God wanted
it
to.
And why is the church not able to support me my needs?
Right.
What's wrong with the church?
Right.
Yeah.
Because God is saying, I will support your needs by feeding you through the college and have you start another church there with a group of hearts because I place my love in you to put in them.
Right.
This is amazing the way God is doing that. Mm-hmm. Just amazing. And God is working in the hearts of the students to call each other, and they're talking about Mr. Coleman, Mr. Coleman, Mr. Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what Bob and I and Mark are going to discuss, because what we would like you to do, because I had a good Bible study raised on that computer, I'm going to try to raise it on this one. And the Bible study talks about Cornelius, if you remember, in Acts, I believe it's Acts chapter 15, no, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 10, when God is speaking to Peter, telling him to go to Peter's in Joppa, or God is telling him to go to Joppa, and Cornelius was an Italian centurion.
Yep.
And Peter was a Jew, and God was telling, and that's going to be the scripture that we're going to look at. I had a great outline on that. What I think we'll do is we'll just go to the Word of God, and we'll just go there and handle it right from our text of scripture and look at it. And let's let our theme scripture be 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved of God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, the church has become ashamed of God. What we find ourselves doing is arguing about issues. Here again, I was going to talk about this issue, Bob, but I've already made a sound clip about it. A head bishop in the University of Notre Dame condemns the president of the university for inviting Obama to speak at the commencement exercise because he's a murderer of babies.
Right.
And that was the most beautiful article. If those of you are on the website, you can go to it by tapping my picture on my website, and that sound piece will come up. Just tap my funny face. That's what I'm saying. And I'm reading the article from the Washington Post. It is a great article because what it does, the Catholic bishop says that humans are the highest priority. And this man has rejected that. He said, I have nothing against the man, but why are we inviting this man? Mm-hmm. And they have thousands of people signing a petition. And this bishop and other people said even 50 of the graduates refused to participate in the graduation because Obama is the speaker.
80,000 petitions.
80,000 petitions against the university. And the alumni are contacting the university. And now the press is trying to say they're making a little fuss. No, that's a big fuss because that university is located in the South. Okay, and people do not play with what life is. See, I am thankful to God that now people are starting to think about it, and even young people in college are beginning to think through. Because remember now, keep it in mind, their minds have been totally shut down for years, and now they're beginning to think. And they're, you know what? It takes a couple of old bishops. This guy happens to be a Catholic. But that's all right. He's a brother of mine on this issue. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're not going to argue about Mary and penance and nothing else. Let's talk about the real issues here. I think it's an honorable thing that they've done to reject this idiot from, but they're going to have him
petitioning.
Speak.
He's going to speak.
Yeah,
and he's
going to
receive an honorary doctorate from the South Bend, Indiana University. So he's going to get a degree from a Catholic university.
Yes.
As the
yeah.
most anti-life president in history. He'll be the 9th U.S. president to get such a degree, the 6th to give the commencement address. Every president since Jimmy Carter, with the exception of Bill Clinton, has given a commencement address at Notre Dame.
Right.
And they are going to also award the Luther Medal, given to someone who exemplifies the ideals of the Catholic Church.
Right.
To former U.S. Ambassador to the Vatican, Marianne Glendon.
And so giving her that award and then having the baby killer speak as the main committee. Man, this is hypocrisy.
An amazing day.
And people are starting to open up their eyes and say, what have we done? Well, you have not been diligent in presenting yourself approved unto God. It's a wonderful article. Read that last paragraph, that last sentence. That's amazing.
Right. It says it does not create a healthy environment at a Catholic university to have any president speaking.
Right.
It creates division.
Right.
If it was President Bush, people would be protesting the war and the death penalty.
Right. In other words, what are you doing bringing in a secular person like that? Usually when you have a commencement exercise, you have one of the greatest heroes of your institution come and give an encouraging speech for the graduates as they go out into the world and change the world for the better.
Right.
Right.
That is what you do at a commencement exercise
in a
college.
And the other thing is there is a lot of priests in the Catholic Church which are drawing the line with the political leaders. And
yes.
If they are pro-choice, they are denying them the communion service.
Yes.
They won't allow them to take it at their church. They
yes.
say, not in my church. You're not coming in here.
Right.
I don't care if you're Ted Kennedy. I don't care who you are.
Absolutely.
Nancy Pelosi or all of them.
Yes.
And those
else.
Are people who claim to be Catholics. Obviously, Obama does not claim to be Catholic. And so why would the Catholic University be so honored as to have him rather than somebody who's within their own faith that holds up the ideals of their faith, you said, to then encourage the students to go on and carry on their faith?
I would say to Obama, this is just another ploy to show that you have the power to wreck any institution you want to show the power of the office. And the people have been muted again.
Right.
But 80,000 people signing a petition, I would think that is a pretty serious
petition.
He's basically
thumbing his nose at the Catholics.
Yes, he is.
I have declared.
Right.
Totally unleashed money toward foreign abortions. I'm the most pro-abortion president in history.
Right.
And I'm going to go right into the depths of anti-abortionists. And I'm going to say, because I'm the president, everybody's going to clap and smile because I'm the president.
Man, you know the way it's done, Bob. And I was telling you and Mark about it earlier. It's done the way Michael Eric Dyson did it. A young man that I know just recently befriended this guy. Anybody that knows anything, and Dyson is a homosexual preacher, and Dyson wanted to have correspondence with this young man. And the young man was telling me how happy he was studying about Dyson's brother being in prison and Dyson speaking up for the black men that are in prison. And I asked the young man, did you know that Michael Eric Dyson is a practicing homosexual cleric who is for same-sex marriages and the homosexual agenda? The young man froze. I said, what, he didn't tell you that when he was getting your cell number? He didn't tell you those things? And yet, see, this is what, Michael Eric Dyson and the rest of them were a part of Obama's election committee.
Mm-hmm.
And then when some of Obama's people found out, they rejected Dyson and the rest of them, but it was too late. Because he had already affirmed them and people like McKirkland, the gospel singer, and all these homosexuals. It was just a ploy to get them on his side, to get the homosexual vote. And
right.
Then at the last moment, his aides told him, I know it is because of these black homosexuals that can really mess you up.
Mm-hmm.
You just watch one series of Noah's Ark. And you guys will know that this thing is crazy.
Hmm.
I watched a series, and this is crazy. I've never seen this kind of stuff, Mark, in the black community.
Yeah.
Never. I've seen some sissies. This is beyond sissified. This is abomination. See, and it's been taught to our young people everywhere, and for these preachers to trick people and to try to manipulate them is the worst thing in the world. But anyhow, let's well, that's a very good point. That's a very good point about the Catholic bishop. And let's go to Acts chapter 10, because that's going to be our fail-safe scripture where we're going to try to continue our discussion. And Bob and I are going to, and Mark too, because you got your Bible open there. He says,
yes.
Now there was a certain man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion, that was called the Italian cohort. So he wasn't Jewish. He was Italian. He was from Italy. All right? And so he was not like the Hebrew Christians. Then it says, a devout man, one who feared God with his whole household. Now, it doesn't mean everybody in his household, but since he ran the household, he was a God-fearer, and the people that worked for him and attended to him also followed his, well, this was his tradition. And he gave many alms to the Jewish people, meaning that since he had this little army compound there, he would help the poor.